Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 23rd day of July 2024. Before I introduce my first-time guest today and the topic we will address, I just have some important reminders for you. If you're a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, which will be held Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, Pennsylvania. That day, we are featuring, for the very first time ever, our keynote speaker, who is Dr. Joseph Boot, the founder and president of the Ezra Institute. And not only is your admission free and your lunch free, and your time of hearing an edifying and challenging and encouraging message for men in the ministry by Dr. Boot free, and your time of rest, relaxation, fun, fellowship, and feasting all free, everybody who attends will receive a heavy sack of free, brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. This is all free of charge to men in ministry leadership, whether you are a pastor, an elder, and by the way, I believe that's the same office, whether you are a parachurch leader, whatever ministry leader position you hold to, if you are a man, you are invited. Just send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line, and you will be automatically registered absolutely free. And don't forget, mark on your calendars, that's Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. Well, I'm absolutely thrilled to have on for the very first time ever Pastor Joel Littlefield. He is a church planter, and he's the lead teaching pastor of New City Church in Bath, Maine. And today we are going to be addressing his book, The Kingdom-Minded Pastor, How Pastoral Partnership Advances the Kingdom. And we're also going to be promoting the upcoming Feed My Sheep Conference. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Joel Littlefield.
Hey, brother. Thank you so much. Honored to be on the show. And that's a lot of free stuff you're giving away. So I'm going to see if I can get down there to Pennsylvania. So.
Well, that would be great if you do. It'd be worth the trip. Just to let you know. Yes. We have people who have attended the luncheon from as far away as Texas, Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia, upstate New York, New York City, Baltimore, Washington, D.C. We have people coming from all over the place every time I have this luncheon. So the books That's alone wonderful. Make it worth your trip.
Oh, absolutely. And Maine is not too far. It's not too far of a drive from Pennsylvania. So.
Well, tell our listeners something about New City Church of Bath, Maine.
Well, providentially, this is a great day to be answering that question. Today is actually, to the day, the seventh anniversary of our church. Yep, you landed it just right, Chris.
Providence strikes again.
Providence, that's right. Yeah, so July 23rd of 2017, New City Church had our first public gathering at a local kind of a historical site in our area, the Maine Maritime Museum. And we launched on a Sunday evening. And 6 months prior to that, my wife and I and our four kids moved to Bath. And we were spending a short time away in in Tennessee, came back to our home state to plant this church. And God, over a 6 month period of time, gathered a small core team of people, and by his grace has allowed that to grow into a beautiful family that is now 7 years old. So we're very, very grateful. New City Church, we're part of the Southern Baptist Convention. And you know, it's been a joy as a church planter to be a part of that. But man, I've grown so much in that period of time. In the last 7 years, we now have 5 elders, we have 4 deacons, a beautiful church family that loves disciple making, and we love each other. We love fellowship, love the Word, and the preaching of the gospel is central. So praise God for the work that He's done.
Wow, 5 elders, and how large numerically is your congregation?
Our membership is right around 100 and right around 100, and then add kids to that, probably about 65, 70 kids.
Well, that's a great number of elders, because
yes,
that further ensures that the flock is adequately cared for and shepherded.
That's right.
And that's just a wonderful thing to hear, because there are churches that are a lot larger numerically that have 5 or less elders. And
I don't know how they do it.
I don't know either. And I firmly believe in the plurality and parity of the eldership. And
absolutely.
So glad to hear that. Well, before we go into... let me make sure that I give the website of New City Church in Bath, Maine. It's bathnewcity.church. bathnewcity.church, and we'll be repeating that, God willing, later on in the program. Well, we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, that guest will give a summary of their salvation testimony, including the religious atmosphere in which they were raised, if any, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to Himself and saved them. And I would love to hear your story.
Oh, I'll gladly share it. Yeah, you know, I was raised in a home that my mother did the best that she could to raise us in a Christian atmosphere and upbringing. She was a new believer when she gave birth to my brother and I, only about a year apart. And so, sad to say, but there wasn't a whole lot of support that I remember from my father's side. I do believe he was raised in a Christian home, but he had a job at the time that pulled him away from our family pretty extensively. And so my mother did, she shared with us the gospel, the hope of Christ, the way to salvation. I remember that at about 6 years old, being told what I now know is the iconic sinner's prayer. And I prayed those words with my mother, and I remember being fairly happy telling some other kids in my neighborhood that I had become a Christian, and do you want to go to heaven sort of thing.
And how long did it take you to recover after being beaten up?
Oh, man. I was in Louisiana at the time, spent some time down there as a child. And those around 6 years old, I wasn't getting beaten up too much by my friends. They were all just more curious. A lot of people go to church in the South. It wasn't uncommon.
Right.
To just be a churchgoer. So,
by the way, I never in a million years would have guessed that your home state, your original home state, is Maine.
Yeah, it is. Yes, I spent some time away.
You don't sound anything. You don't sound anything like the sea captains that I've heard.
No, I don't.
From Maine.
No, you have to go to my dad, my grandfather. They were the iconic sound of the Yankees in Maine. That's what
right.
they'd say. So. Yeah. So 6 years old, flash forward several years, there was no discipleship in my life. The first introduction to a local church was a Methodist church with a female pastor in our little hometown. Didn't know that was any issue. Not sure why my mother didn't know at the time, but she does now. She would never condone female pastors. But that's what we had at the time. And but I was not discipled. And childhood, divorced at about 11 years old from my parents, several things that just sort of plummeted us into, well, we had no foundation really. So I did not hope in Christ. I did not, though I would call myself a Christian all through those years. I had never repented of my sins. I really had no understanding of what it was to have a brokenness over myself, my sin, and lean on a holy God who had provided his son, his perfect son for me. That didn't come till much later. I sort of wrecked myself through junior high and high school doing the typical teenager 90s sort of thing. In the 90s and early 2000, I'm a drummer. I was in a band, and that was my life at the time. Just shoot for fame and stardom and notoriety. And but it just so happened that after I had graduated high school, I ended up in a city in Maine called Bangor, in which if you're out of state and you fly in, people usually call it Bangor, but it's Bangor. And it's a little city up in the central part of Maine. I went to college there. And God was starting to get a hold of my life through several different circumstances. A Methodist preacher in our small town who was God was piquing my interest. Something from my childhood was I was recognizing that there was something missing. Anyway, many of your listeners are probably familiar with Calvary Chapel.
Yes.
Calvary Chapel. Yeah, Calvary Chapel has a very large church in Bangor at the time. It was probably about 1,000 members, I'd say. And they were advertising a college age Bible study, college and career age Bible study. And I saw the advertisement on TV in my dorm room, and I just felt like I needed to go. So I went, walked into a service, saw about 100 kids worshiping, singing praises to the Lord, and then sat in a 1-hour Bible study in which every single kid between the ages of 12 and 18 were glued to their Bibles. They actually brought their Bibles. So I was introduced to expository preaching, heard the gospel, began to understand what repentance was, and God had gotten a hold of my heart. I remember a moment of repentance. It just happened to be at a concert. I don't know if you remember the band The Cry. Remember those guys?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, I would say, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, probably more like 80s and 90s.
That would have been in the very early stages of my new birth in Christ. But for some reason,
okay,
the bands that I saw in concert, and by saying this, I'm not necessarily endorsing them now, but Petra I saw in concert. I saw Striper, who I heard is now performing again. I hope they're not still wearing spandex. And I still love Michael Card, who I've seen in concert. And Phil Driscoll, I loved his trumpet playing, but hated and still hate his theology. That would be some of the main guys that I remember.
Well, now that you've mentioned those eras, I can now tell emphatically that The Cry was more late 90s, early 2000s. They came out of Chuck Smith's church out in the California area, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. But anyway, I was at a concert, and, you know, the story was they at the end of their concert said, is there anybody who would like to respond to the gospel, repent of their sins and trust in Christ? And that moment, I was that 17-year-old kid that realized that I was a sinner, that I was broken, and I wanted to follow Christ. And so I did. I came forward weeping and was prayed over by a few individuals. And from that point on, my life was drastically different. It only took about a year or two or a year or two from that point where I was married to a godly woman. Her dad was a pastor at Calvary Chapel there. And I began teaching the Bible at age 20 into our youth group. God had just radically changed me from kind of a loose cannon, kind of a kid to just wanting more than anything to get a hold of the scriptures, to preach and teach God's word, and to raise a family, to be married to my wife and be a good husband, good father. So we had kids at a very young age. I was 19 and my wife was 17 when we got married. We just had our 21st anniversary this past July on the 19th, and I'm 41 years old, and now I've got a grandson on the way.
Wow.
Yep, my oldest son is 19, about to turn 20 in August, and Him and his wife will be having a baby in November. So I have a lot to be grateful for to the Lord. He saved me young. He saved me at 17 years old and gave me a beautiful wife. We started a family. I've been in ministry now for 20 years, 20 plus years, and now and pastoral, full-time pastoral ministry for about seven. But that's a little bit of my story.
Well, you got to tell us, especially since your background is Calvary Chapel, how
yes.
on earth you discovered the doctrines of sovereign grace and came to understand them, believe them, embrace them, and fall in love with them.
Yeah. Well, that's a good story to tell. And there's a very good chance that my Calvary Chapel brothers and family may listen to this, and they know that I've struggled with this. It was a struggle through many years, because being a Calvinist in a Calvary Chapel movement actually brought quite a bit of heat to me. There was
a moment. You were already a Calvinist while still in that movement.
Yeah, so I was sort of a cage stage Calvinist in a probably, I'd say the year 2013, maybe 12, when we moved down to Tennessee. I was developing those doctrines. I was one of those guys that just discovered, you know, Driscoll back in the day, and then John Piper and these other. Somebody had handed me an R.C. Sproul book out of nowhere. I didn't even know who he was. I think it was his book, Chosen by God, and you know, so I started. I was curious as to why. There was something different that I was hearing, and I was curious, and it piqued my interest. But I continued to serve in Calvary Chapel in Tennessee as a Calvinist, and my father-in-law was very gracious to allow me to preach from the pulpit.
Really?
Knowing that we had, yeah, very, and I think that I attribute that to his grace, his kindness. He knew me as a person. He knew that I didn't have any desire to usurp his authority or to try to cause division. I just wanted to preach the word.
I know that Calvary Chapel does occasionally make exceptions with that. Like, for instance, Jason Lyle, I don't know if you're familiar with Jason. He is a brilliant astrophysicist and young earth creationist.
Okay.
And he is a thoroughgoing five-point Calvinist and presuppositionalist and so on. And yet, he is huge amongst Calvary chapels. I'm assuming they know his theological position.
I'm assuming.
And Alistair Begg has always been a favorite amongst Calvary Chapel folks. I don't know if his recent horrible advice to the grandmother to attend a same-sex wedding, so-called, has changed that at all. But he was huge amongst Calvary chapels. No, I was just going to say, but sometimes, you know, men have lost their ministries because they became Calvinists and got thrown out of Calvary Chapel, even though Calvary Chapel leadership claims not to be a denomination or to take official positions known as Arminianism and so on. They still get very often furious with somebody who becomes a Calvinist. But anyway, I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. And I think, you know, like most denominations or networks, you know, you're going to find different flavors of that depending on the leadership and the ministry itself. And, you know, I found myself in the midst of a time frame when there were actual emails going out to across the nation to Calvary chapels saying, if you have any reformed younger men in your church aspiring to eldership, make sure you don't allow them to be part of that. And so here I am an aspiring pastor, and I'm in a church with my family, really serving alongside my in-laws. My father-in-law was a pastor there, and I don't believe he stood for that. So I got to see the kindness of one side, and then I got to see what seemed very irrational and unbiblical from another side. And Most all of my blood family on my wife's side, and it's not my blood family, but my wife's side, I have several in-laws who are pastors, and all of them are Calvary Chapel pastors. I'm like the one that got away, you know. But you know, I love them all. They're great. They're gracious. They love and when I tell this story, and I tell this in my book, and oftentimes people ask me this is I attribute God's providence brought me to Calvary Chapel and gave me a love for expository preaching.
Yes.
You know, Yeah, I would not have had that without what I experienced there. And I'm grateful for that. I shifted and drifted to a more Calvinistic doctrines of grace view that is continuing. I love it. I love where God has brought me and the family that he's brought me to and the networks that I'm now a part of. But I do. And though I may not align in a conversation with a Calvary brother on everything, I have spoken at Calvary Chapel conferences here in the state of Maine, a men's conference. And I'm grateful for that platform to just be able to bring God's word.
And by the way, nothing I said was intended to vilify or cast dispersion on Calvary Chapels. I have friends who are Calvary Chapel ministers and members. Amen. And I just obviously am heartbroken when I hear men from that movement vilify Calvinism.
That's right.
Typically totally misunderstanding it and vilifying a Calvinism that is a figment of anti-Calvinist's imagination.
That's right.
But I know that there are many good people, and it's interesting how when a ministry is very Bible-focused, very often people who are a part of it wind up believing in the doctrines of sovereign grace.
Yeah.
Because if you are involved in expository preaching, unless you're cheating and jumping over things, like we're going to skip Romans 9 today and move on.
Yeah, right.
But, like, for instance, there have been many men that I have met and interviewed who are today Reformed Baptists or even conservative Presbyterians who were educated at Bob Jones University. Back in the day when they were vehemently anti-Calvinist. I don't think that they are today. There may be some on the faculty who still are, but back in the day when you could even be kicked out for being vocal about your views on Calvinism, because Bob Jones has a history of being very biblically focused, so... It if you want to say it backfired on them because of that, because people become believers in sovereign grace, that's just an interesting phenomenon.
Absolutely. You know, it's one thing to disagree with Calvinism. It's another thing to sort of hunt them down.
Yeah.
And my earliest recollection of the phrase Calvinism was from the library or the bookstore at the Calvary Chapel, and it was a book by Dave Hunt. I don't know if you remember Dave Hunt out on the West Coast, and it was a book on how to debate a Calvinist. And so my earliest recollection was that Calvinism was dangerous. It was basically taught as such. And I remember a friend of mine who is now a Calvinist and actually lives down in PA. He was the one that first introduced me to R.C. Sproul. But prior to his sort of coming into that understanding, I remember catching wind of a friend that had become a Calvinist. And I was at this brother's house having dinner. And I said, "Hey, I heard so-and-so is a Calvinist. Let's pray for him." You know, and that was really my position. I was thoroughly concerned because of the upbringing that I was given. I was concerned for this person's soul. And to see now I've come really a 180 to understand the grace, the sweetness, the wonderful understanding of God's amazing grace to elect and save sinners who do not deserve it.
And I don't know if you're aware, my very dear longtime friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, contributed to a book with Dave Hunt where they took opposite sides on Calvinism.
Okay, so Dave Hunt was once, so who was on whose side? They once agreed?
No, they never agreed. Other than on the very basic teachings of the New Testament, but
sure.
What I mean is they contributed on a book where they both took opposite sides.
Oh, I see.
I think it might have even been called Debating Calvinism. I'll look it up.
It might be that one. Yeah. And I probably had a pretty negative view of James White at the time, if that's who it was. and now I've come, I probably agree a lot with James on a lot of different things, including the doctrines of grace.
Yep. And in your life and how in your life, and by the way, I just looked it up. It is called Debating Calvinism. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that's it. Debating Calvinism, 5 points, 2 views. by Dave Hunt and James White. We all, by the way, we both know now Dave Hunt is a 5-point Calvinist since he's in heaven. So when and how in your life did you realize that God had placed the calling upon your life to enter into pastoral ministry?
You know, this kind of comes into the story in the book a little bit. In Calvary Chapel, I was teaching the youth, teaching God's word. And really, it began at about 20 years old as I was starting to teach God's word, but wasn't really given a whole lot of training other than to watch other guys do it. And then just over time, I believe the Lord shifted my desire from just being involved with youth to really wanting to be involved actively in starting a church or planting a church. And I wasn't sure what that looked like, but I think God's just given me a heart to shepherd and shepherd with God's word. And, if I were to put a time on it, I'd say probably about 2008 or so. I remember my daughter, my older daughter being born, and we had moved, to a southern part of the state of Maine with another one of my brother-in-laws who was planting a church. So I've had a few opportunities to be involved with church plants. I even attempted one church plant that failed. I tried to plant a church in a city called Sanford, Maine. And that just goes to show that I had the desire to do it, but not the training or the understanding of what it was like. I was greatly humiliated, sitting through, several, Saturday evening, what I hoped would be at least a Bible study with nobody showing up. I thought I had all the right formulas for people to come, but I didn't really understand pastoring. I didn't understand the other components biblically that should be a part of being sent from a local church. Those things I've come to understand, thankfully, now. So,
yes, I actually planted a church once, and even though I was the only member, I was excommunicated. So it was kind of an interesting.
That's an interesting story.
But we are going to our first commercial break right now. If anybody would like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and and away my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnson in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com is going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, on top of the monthly financial support that RoyalDiadem.com automatically provides for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio all year long, on top of that, they are giving us this mind-blowing bonus. If anybody in our audience purchases jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com and mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits from that sale of jewelry. Whether you are purchasing a piece of jewelry for yourself or someone you love, or if you're purchasing a piece of jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, or like taking your church logo, your parachurch logo, your business logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo, and turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your brain, they will take what's in your brain and turn it into a mind-blowing, breathtaking, stunning physical piece of jewelry that will blow your mind. And I have seen firsthand the mastery that RoyalDiadem.com has over customizing jewelry. So whatever the case may be, whether it's something that they have in stock or a customized piece, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making your purchase of jewelry, we will get 100% of the profits. If you have any intention to purchase jewelry for yourself or someone you love, please go to RoyalDiadem.com today, even if you're not making your final purchase today. Go to RoyalDiadem.com today to start the ball rolling on your purchase. And the reason for the urgency, why I'm telling you to go to that website, RoyalDiadem.com today, is because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer to us where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry. So please go to RoyalDiadem.com today to get the ball rolling on your purchase and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with Pastor Joel Littlefield, and we are discussing his book, The Kingdom-Minded Pastor, How Pastoral Partnership Advances the Kingdom. I just want to read a commendation for this book by a friend of mine for many years, Dr. Joel R. Beakey, Chancellor at Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who was just very recently my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon speaker. Dr. Beakey says that Pastor Littlefield's book offers practical guidance for creating healthy, Christ-centered, and edifying pastoral coalitions. May the Irenic spirit of which Littlefield speaks prevail in our day for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. A very powerful endorsement by a very powerful brother in Christ in the church. But first of all, can you tell us, because there are, it seems, different definitions, even amongst Christians, about what exactly is meant by the kingdom. What is this kingdom that should be involved in a kingdom-minded pastor?
Great question. Yeah, so the kingdom, I would say, is the rule of Christ, where Christ's rule is present, and we believe that that is here on this earth. He's ruling and reigning through his church. His plan is being fulfilled sovereignly. And when you come to the perspective of the pastor, that has to be understood if we are to keep ourselves from sectarianism, divisions, territorialism, these things. We understand that where Christ is ruling and reigning in his church, that there are other pastors besides ourselves that are doing the work of the kingdom, preaching the gospel, making disciples, calling people to come to the side of the kingdom, renounce darkness, and come and follow and serve Christ, the King. But we're doing that together. So in the context of pastoral leadership, that's really what I'm getting at, is that you're not alone. We're in this together. You're not the only pastor, and that's a good thing, because God is accomplishing his work through all sorts of people all over the world. And we should link arms with those people and in a like-minded manner and accomplish the work that God has called us to do.
Yeah, what you said is very refreshing to hear, because, as you likely know, people from our theological circles, nicknamed Reformed, Calvinist, Doctrines of Sovereign Grace, men in our circles, because of a very good and rightful desire to preserve theological and doctrinal purity and accuracy, sometimes that very good thing, because we're all sinners, can turn into an ugly thing where people become very divisive and sectarian and turn the doctrines of grace, which are intended by God to humble men and exalt God, sometimes in the hands of sinful men, these teachings are ironically used to exalt the pride of men.
Right.
And they become overly micromanaging, if you will, in the theology of others, to the point where they want no fellowship with people that disagree with them on secondary and tertiary things, even things that we would consider important but not worthy of being raised to the level of disfellowshipping people over, and
that's
so
right.
on. But a very good, healthy, refreshing attitude you revealed here. And other than what I just mentioned, what was the prevailing thing, or things plural, that you witnessed lacking in the church that provoked you, compelled you to say, you know, I've got to write a book about this?
Yeah. Well, you know, Maine is a state that I think is generally, even geographically, sort of disconnected from the rest of the country, and people tend to sort of follow suit up here in this cold corner of our country. And that's very it's amplified in the life of a pastor, I believe, because not only now do you have yourself in a state that is liberal, that is dark spiritually, but then you have, as a pastor, the spiritual load and burden of being a pastor. And so witnessing that when coming back to Maine and seeking to plant a church, what I noticed was a large amount of isolated pastors, not really linked together, not really friendly with each other, maybe a pastor's breakfast here and there, but not a lot of healthy partnership. When I began to pull together what has now become a coalition of pastors, you know, I just started to see the refreshing nature of it. Pastors like-minded together, caring for one another, strengthening one another, talking about each other's souls, the health of our shepherding, the state of our churches. What can we do to grow and be better in our call? And it seems to be something that is lacking in Maine, but I don't doubt that it's lacking all over the place. And that's the sense that I've been getting as people are reading and commenting on these things. You know, so isolation, lonely pastors, a lot of depression, a lot of depressed pastors, and stagnant ministries, ministries that have pastors that, let's say, don't embrace the plurality of eldership, or they want to, but they can't because their ministry model just doesn't favor it. So they're fighting uphill battles. They're revitalizing a church and trying to see healthy things happen. And what I witnessed was year after year after year of the same testimony of, you know, I just want to see this change. But how long? You know, how long? 5, 6, 10, 20 years of unhealthy leadership. And I think one of the things that needs to happen with that those particular pastors is they need other pastors around them to help them and to strengthen them and encourage them. Maybe to help them through some of those decisions of, hey, I've got a deacon team. They all think they're elders and they think they're my boss. All right. So how do you work through that change? Because there's churches like that all over the state of Maine. And a lot of them are dying and their doors are going to close. So ministries that are stagnant, unhealthy leadership models, burdens that people are bearing. And then you just what I tend to see is a lack of intentionality. And so when pastors come together and discuss these ideas of what it means to be a biblical shepherd and what does it mean to preach the word? What is expository preaching? How's your prayer life? And you talk about those things, well, you sharpen each other. And then you help each other be equipped for then making your churches healthier. Now, I really do. I do believe that. I believe that the healthier the pastor, the more in line he is, the better the chance of that church becoming healthy in a way that is according to scripture. So, and iron sharpens iron just seems to make sense to be talking about this, doesn't it, brother?
Yes, amen. If you could just in more detail describe the religious climate in which you serve in Maine. I know that New England at one time was a bastion of biblical truth where the Puritans reigned. And unfortunately, tragically, ironically, many of those churches planted by the Puritans, which are now in the hands of one of the most apostate denominations, the United Church of Christ, typically going by the name Congregationalist, which, of course, not every church that has that on their sign, Congregationalist, means that they're a part of that apostate denomination. But what is the biggest rival to a biblically faithful church there and, you know, more prevalent enemy to the gospel and Christ's true church?
There are a lot of enemies, I would say, to the good preaching of the true gospel. It's probably in my town, most prominently, a mix between a New Age religion and universalist congregationalist, like you're speaking about. Ironically, New City Church has been leasing a building for the last 4.5 years from a church that was built as a universalist congregational church, United Church of Christ.
Wow.
Yeah, it's no longer that. It's that church was built in the 70s. They shrunk out of it and established a smaller building in the middle of our city in which they feed a lot of homeless people. They're very active in the community in that manner. But staunchly heretical and opposed to the gospel. But we've been renting their building. So it is very ironic that that is the state of what Maine used to be like, with a lot of reformers like Isaac Case, who I talk about in the book. Was predominantly preaching Baptist, Calvinistic theology, good, solid teaching in a state that was overrun with universalism and congregationalism, the bad congregationalism. But so that's generally what we find is people that are, very much a works-based religion or mixed with a New Age understanding of Christ, that Jesus is just he's just a guru. He's just a good man, maybe a good teacher. But what you need is spirituality. You don't need Christ or repentance from sin. And so it goes from that to an extreme hatred of Christ, honestly, not even just trying to be religious, but an opposition to the gospel and a lot of Satanism.
Wow.
A lot of Satanism. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we bring missions teams here early on in the church plant, and it was very remarkable for people to comment on. You know, they'd go into the city and seek to evangelize. And sometimes you'd find friendly people. But the further south you go to the Portland area, Portland, Maine, is very, very dark. We're about 30 minutes from Portland. And nearly every storefront through the downtown portion of Portland is full of pagan images. A lot of Buddhism, New Age religion. It's very much opposed to the gospel of Jesus.
Now, I remember years ago seeing a leader in one of the satanic church sects, because they're not all the same thing.
Yeah.
And he said that he was thrilled with the growing popularity. This was back in the 80s, I think.
Yeah.
The growing popularity of the New Age movement, because he said, that's really Satanism. We don't worship Satan. We worship ourselves. Is that really,
sure.
is that really the mindset there? Or do you have a mixture of people who actually worship Satan? Because the Satanist that I just referred to, he doesn't believe, and I, from what I understand, Anton LaVey and many of the more well-known Satanists of the past or present, they don't even believe Satan exists, but they use that as the their symbol for pride and licentiousness.
Yeah, yeah.
Sexual freedom to do anything you want, that kind of thing. What's the idea behind Satanism there, if you've explored that at all?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's a mix. You will run into people that would call themselves Satanists, but I wouldn't say it's classic Luciferianism, you know, where you have Freemasonry where they would claim, no, actually Lucifer does exist and he is God. And I think you're making a good distinction there. So it would probably be predominantly New Age, the worship of self as opposed to the worship of Satan. Interestingly enough, we have seen, though, a rise in salvations in our church. Now, we're not seeing, you know, dozens saved weekly, but the last couple of stories of those that have been drawn to Christ and saved are people that have been saved out of the New Age movement and completely radically changed from the worship of self, very ritualistic yoga, New Age practices, to now trusting in Jesus. And so in this city, which is only about 9,000 people in our little community, God is saving people and plugging them into good, healthy churches. The sad part is they're still the predominant number of churches in our community are not teaching the true gospel. So what we find is that people, they come to our church and they say, well, we've already tried four or five churches and they're not teaching the scriptures. And so thank God that they're coming. They're finding us.
Praise God. The Lord. Praise God.
Yeah.
Well, people may be scratching their heads. Wait a minute. He said something bad about yoga. I have become so limber through my stretching every morning using yoga. A lot of people don't even realize that those yoga poses are positions of worship in pagan idolatry.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So we have a mix of all of those things. That's sort of what we're up against. But, you know, I don't want to speak too pessimistically about it, though. Those are the predominant views as a liberal state. The Lord is at work. We are seeing God. There's a lot of fruit. God is saving lives.
Before we go to our midway break, I'm going to read a question to you and then have you answer it when we come back. This will give you time to think about it. This is from Anthony, or as my Italian friends on Long Island, New York would say, Antony. Anthony from Hoshton, Georgia. As your ministry has grown and your study of scripture increased, at what point did the whole concept of the gospel of the kingdom enter into your thoughts and get on your radar theologically? Do you see it more along the line of what Dr. Joe Boot speaks of in his Mission of God book and other writings? Has this shifted your biblical worldview and vision of ministry? Does your book address this? We'll have you address that when we return from our midway break. Please try to respond to as many of our advertisers as you can. Because keep in mind that the funding that comes from our advertisers is absolutely essential for us existing. So try to respond to as many of our advertisers as you can. And, of course, send in your questions for Joel Littlefield to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices, and now they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Oh.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And let me highlight two books from solid-ground-books.com that beautifully reflect our topic for today. These are two books, actually, that solid-ground-books.com rescued from out of obscurity. They were lost treasures, hidden treasures, covered by the dust of history, that were rediscovered and brought back into print for a whole new audience and readership, and have been blessing the body of Christ thanks to solid-ground-books.com. The first is A Pastor's Sketches, Conversations with Anxious Souls Concerning the Way of Salvation, by Ichabod Spencer, a relatively unknown pastor from Brooklyn, New York, who in his day was quite well known. He was highly respected and well known, and for some reason that only God knows, the church forgot about him for quite some time. And this book has been rediscovered and brought back into print, which is basically the chronicles of Pastor Ichabod Spencer's house visitations to families in the church. And it proved to be a very valuable tool to many pastors all over the world who have ordered it. Another one that has a remarkable story behind it is Counsels and Thoughts on the Spiritual Life of Believers, by Thomas More. Thomas More, not to be confused by the Roman Catholic during the English Reformation. Thomas More was an elder at the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England, that was pastored by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And during a visit not long ago to the Metropolitan Tabernacle by my friend Tom Nettles, going through their library, he discovered the volume Counsels and Thoughts on the Spiritual Life of Believers, and he contacted Mike Gadosh, the founder of solid-ground-books.com, and said, "You've got to bring this book back into print." He did, and it's a highly recommended volume. You can get these two volumes and many more at solid-ground-books.com. Please visit that site frequently and purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Joel Littlefield, we just have a couple of other very important announcements to make. Folks, we lost recently two faithful primary sponsors of Iron Sharp and Zion Radio due to their own financial crisis that each of them is facing. We have lost them, I'm hoping it's not permanent, but at least for now, we've lost the financial support of two significant sponsors. So we really need your help, folks, to replace that income that has disappeared. We were already facing a financial trial, and now, of course, it is obviously worse. So I'm urging you, if you love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card, or if you prefer snail mail, sending a physical check to a physical address at your post office the old-fashioned way, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice, like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event that you want to promote, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And folks, please always remember, as urgently and as desperately as we need your financial support, I never want anybody in my audience cutting in to the financial resources that you have set aside for giving to your own local church where you're a member. We don't want you to give less money to your church on the Lord's Day than you normally give your church in order to bless financially Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Please never do that. And also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet financially, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a gift. The Bible's clear that we are primarily to use the money with which God has blessed us, which is still God's money, or primarily to use it to support our church and our family. And providing for Iron Sharp and Zion Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you love the show, you don't want it to go away, and you are blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, please, if you love the show, share some of that money with us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like New City Church in Bath, Maine, I have extensive lists spanning the entire globe of biblically faithful churches and have helped many people in our audience all over the planet Earth find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes even just a couple of minutes from where they live. So no matter where on the earth you live, please, if you are without a church home that's biblically faithful, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. And I'll do my best to help you find a church that is biblically faithful. And that's also the same address where you can send in a question to my guest today, Joel Littlefield, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Before I go to that question in Houston, from Houston, Georgia, from Anthony, tell us about this conference. I want to make sure that we don't forget, or I don't forget, to mention the conference, the Feed My Sheep conference that you are orchestrating.
Yeah, we'd love to have people come. This is our fourth year hosting the Feed My Sheep conference. New City Church is a part of the Pillar Network. Pillar Network is a Reformed network that's fits within the SBC family, but it's a solidly Reformed, a wonderful group of churches, and they began doing Feed My Sheep conferences several years ago. I picked up on it and started offering one in Maine. And it's a day for pastors, leaders, pastors' wives to come and sit under the faithful teaching of God's Word. There's usually a great theme that we sort of center the teaching around, and this year it is biblical authority. And we've got Jonathan Lehman is going to be coming. He'll be speaking. And then Sean DeMars, which some of you might know from the American Gospel Part 1 film. Sean DeMars was one of the testimonies there. He'll be speaking, and then I'll be sharing as well. And so a day of teaching. You'll have food. Good fellowship, really good resources. Just actually heard an email while we were on the break from Banner. Banner is going to be offering some books to give away. We'll see what we can have there for resources, because I know pastors like leaving conferences with great books. So, but you can register on the link on my Facebook page or on New City Church's page. I'm not sure if Chris, if you have a link that you're able to share, but we can, registration is $35. Pretty decent price for a day of just solid preaching. So we'd love to have anybody in the New England area, especially Maine. If you're a pastor, come visit us on that day, September 21st.
And repeat that website again.
Yeah. So let me see here. Yep. So we have the registration page up through our planning center online. Let me just grab that here really quick.
And while you're doing that, I'm going to remind our listeners of our email address. If you have a question, chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence if you live outside of the USA.
Yeah. So the best thing that I could say would be to go onto Facebook to Feed My Sheep Maine, go to that page, and you'll find everything you can there for the registration links. It's a long, funky website. I wouldn't want to give that, but that's the best way. Feed My Sheep Maine is a Facebook page that you can find, and all the information will be there for registering.
Great. Well, going back to our listener in Hoshton, Georgia, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Anthony, I will repeat the question since it's been quite a while since I read it to you. As your ministry has grown and your study of Scripture increased, at what point did the whole concept of the gospel of the kingdom enter into your thoughts and get on your radar theologically? Do you see it more along the line of what Dr. Joe Boot speaks of in his Mission of God book and other writings? Has this shifted your biblical worldview and vision of ministry? Does your book address this?
That's a great question. Truth be told, while we were on break, I ordered Joe Boot's book, and I will be reading that.
Yep. Wow. He'll be happy. To hear that. He is my next pastor's luncheon speaker.
Is he really? Okay, that's great. You know, I the name was familiar. I hadn't read his book yet, but I see he's now sort of in a camp of a lot of people that I have a lot of respect for. And to answer Anthony's question, the theology of the kingdom as I currently see it is something that has also grown along with the doctrines of grace. About 3 years ago, I preached through Daniel and began seeing the gospel of the kingdom and the theology of the kingdom through the lens of a postmillennial view. And that's probably, I'm assuming, what you're referring to in terms of thinking of the kingdom in an optimistic worldview. And that is absolutely where I would land eschatologically at this time. So I'm really looking forward to reading a 600-page book by Joseph Booth.
Yes, you could definitely use that hardback as a murder weapon. I have that book, and it is enormous and worth every page.
Wonderful. So it is mentioned in my book. Of course, this is not a very theologically rich book. It's a very practical book that I've written, but there is a chapter on a kingdom vision where I set the stage for pastors to think about their mission with a kingdom view. I'm not necessarily trying to convince pastors to become postmillennial in their view. I understand there's going to be a lot of those views around the table in a pastor's meeting. That's certainly not the aim. But there's a portion of a scripture that really ministered to me and caused me to think about my ministry different. And that would be Matthew 13, 31 and 32, which you would all know was the parable of the mustard seed. And as I began to think about the parable of the mustard seed and seeing the eventual overwhelming success of God's kingdom work here on this earth, it definitely has changed my view as a pastor in the sense that I do not see the world as wholly in a pessimistic view of all of our work as pastors is going to fail, but that our work is going to succeed in light of the Great Commission and the promise of God to turn that mustard seed into a tree that overtakes the whole garden. I'll just read something really briefly from the chapter, and it's, you'll see how this has made application to pastors. And it's a subheading called Small Can Be Discouraging. The often small and seemingly insignificant nature of kingdom work can be discouraging. It has discouraged me at times in my ministry. near the end of time, when the gospel has covered the whole earth and all the nations have been discipled, the parable of the mustard seed will be fully understood. But God allows us to see smaller fulfillments of these kingdom principles to remind us that Jesus' words are true. Our perseverance is not wasted. And that's after just giving a basic summary, really, of how I see that mustard seed parable taking shape, that the devil is not winning. God is winning. God is enthroned. And that view of the kingdom absolutely does shape why I really want to see these pastors' coalitions come together, because God has called us to a successful, winning kingdom work. And I'm grateful to be a part of that. So hopefully that answers your question. I look forward to reading that book. So thanks for that suggestion.
Great. Well, guess what, Antony? Because of the generosity of my friend Donnie Morrison over at Christian Focus Publishing, you have received, or you will receive, a free copy of the book we are addressing by my guest today, The Kingdom-Minded Pastor. Make sure you give us your full mailing address in Houston, Georgia. And by the way, let me say at the outset that Christian Focus Publications has been generous enough to give us a limited number of copies of Joel Littlefield's book. If you already have it, please let us know so that we could bless someone else with it. And also, every time we hear from a first-time questioner, not only will you receive this book, but you will receive, on top of that, a new American Standard Bible, which we always give to first-time questioners on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So thank you, Antony, for the great questions. We have Mike in Brunswick, Maine. How would you counsel a person who was moving away from Calvinist theology and, as he writes it, toward Arminian theology? I'm assuming that Arminian theology involves rice pilaf, a specialty of the Armenians. but Armenian, just to let our listener know, and this might have been a typo, Armenian is an ethnicity, Arminian is a theology.
There we go. Good clarification.
But very good question, excellent question, because it does happen. But this is interesting. I don't know if you've experienced or witnessed this. Almost every single time, with very few exceptions, at least in my own personal experience, most people who depart from Calvinism do not become evangelical Arminians. They become apostates and become Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, or they just abandon the faith. Very rarely have I ever witnessed a thoroughly reformed Christian becoming an Armenian. I almost said it myself. An Arminian evangelical. I don't know. Would you say the same thing in your own experience?
Yeah. I've certainly not experienced personally. I only know of a couple names that I would say were probably pretty thoroughly reformed that are now not. I don't know if they're fully Arminian, but I know we have ministries like Soteriology 101 and Leighton Flowers and that guy.
When people like Leighton say they were Calvinists, I don't know how real, thorough, and how long they were actually believing in the doctrines of grace.
You know, how I would answer Mike, and Mike, I don't know if I know you personally or not, but you only live about 15 minutes from our church if you're in Brunswick, Maine.
Oh, wow.
So if you need a healthy church, but I'm happy to answer this question. I think that what I generally try to do is just define terms. What does that person believe that they're actually leaving? That you might find that what they're, or I often find in those conversations that what they think they're leaving is actually not the doctrines of grace that I hold to. It's not Reformed Puritan theology. It's not the robust gospel witness that we read from the Puritans and the Reformers and guys like Charles Spurgeon. You got to define the terms. They might just say they're leaving a religion that believes that God has ordained humans to be like robots. You know, some of those very just kind of cliche arguments against Calvinism that isn't really Calvinism. So you need to define those terms and find out if they're understanding what you mean. If you're a Calvinist, lay that out. What are the 5 points? Take them to scripture. You're not trying to argue them or win them to a man. You're not trying to win them to a pet doctrine of yours. If you're a Calvinist, I am a Calvinist, I believe it's the best representation and the clearest understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what I'm going to be doing at the end of the day is arguing scripture and pointing them to the gospel. And you know what? If they're going to leave Calvinism, I would try to get them into a good, solid church. Like Chris was saying, you know, what are they actually leaving to? Where are they going? And I would, you know, you might want to be more concerned than them leaving Calvinism, more concerned that they're leaving the gospel. If they're rebelling against such, I would say clear truths of God's grace.
And sometimes
a lot of patience.
And sometimes people who are in horrible congregations with horrible leaders that happen to identify as Calvinist are leaving for that reason. Yeah. And I have come to a point in my life where if it boiled down to my only options to join a church with absolutely abysmal leadership that was Calvinist, or a church that was non-reformed, non-Calvinist, but they had shepherds with true humble hearts, would join the latter if I only had those two choices. Ideally, both would exist in an alternative, but I would much more, as long as they didn't want to drive me out with a crowd of pitchfork-carrying, torch-carrying anti-Calvinists, I would join the Arminian church.
You know, we have membership in our church, and we don't require them to, we don't require people to be reformed or require them to be Calvinists to be members. I don't believe that would be biblical. We require them to believe the gospel. We tell them that our distinctives are thoroughly reformed, and the elders preach from a reformed position. But we have people in our church that would not be Calvinists, and that's fine. But as a pastor, Mike, I don't know if Mike's a pastor or not, but you need to think in terms of a shepherd. You really want to shepherd this person's soul and really get to the heart of what the issue is and point them to scripture. That's what I'd say at the end of the day.
Well, Mike, you have also won a free copy of The Kingdom Minded Pastor. If you're not a pastor, we would urge you to read it and then pass it on to your pastor. And so you must give us your full mailing address in Brunswick, Maine. And if you're a first-time questioner, we will also send you a free New American Standard Bible. Well, I want to make sure, before we go to our final break in about 10 minutes, I want to make sure you cover some of the areas of your book that were the primary reasons you wrote it. So why don't you continue on to those aspects of The Kingdom-Minded Pastor that you definitely want to make sure are brought to the forefront during this conversation.
Absolutely. You know, the end result that I would say would be a wonderful 10-year vision. And I think I wrote this in the end of the book, is if in 10 years time, we could see hundreds of like-minded groups of pastors meeting in their communities intentionally, aiming for the health of their soul, talking about solid theological issues, asking good questions, repentant, faithful, forming friendships, then that would be a success. The practical nature of this book really does teach and give a biblical basis for why pastors who week in and week out encourage our members to fellowship, why we also need to apply those same principles to fellowshipping with other like-minded leaders for the sake of our soul and the sake of our churches. So the big picture of why I wrote this book is I really want to see pastors meeting together all over their communities and forming these relationships. A big proponent to this book was Brian Croft's ministry, Practical Shepherding. Practical Shepherding has provided material for me to walk pastors and potential pastors through. And that mindset of the shepherd's soul and the health of that soul is really what prompted me to think along these lines. And so in the book, what you'll find is a lot of practical advice on what to talk about when you come together in those meetings. Many of us have experienced those pastor's breakfasts where all you get is complaining. People coming together, I experienced a lot of that in COVID. During COVID, I'd go to a meeting And I just hear pastors complaining about masks and talking about this and that. And there was no intentionality to discuss the kingdom or the relationships among us or ask about sin. Even when was the last time you went to a pastor's meeting where there was repentance, where there was real brokenness because you're dealing with something or you have a struggle in your marriage or you're having a hard time parenting your child? These issues that would be otherwise disqualifying, right? Think about the number of pastors that disqualify themselves because they didn't come to that place of repentance. And maybe they don't have elders in their church to share these things with or to keep them accountable. So that's a lot of what you'll see. I outline a little bit of my story in it and the need to have a kingdom mission, a mission that leads to multiplication, that in our minds as pastors, we need to be thinking about multiplying at every level in our church, disciple making, multiplying ourselves as leaders, and then ultimately that at some point, I believe churches need to plant churches. I think we need to follow that model of planting churches, sending leaders to places where the gospel needs to be. And then finally, I spend the last chapter of the book looking back at a couple figures. I'm a big Spurgeon fan. And so, I highlight some of the reasons why Spurgeon formed his Brotherhood of Pastors shortly after the downgrade controversy. Of course, Spurgeon lost a lot of friends. It was a horrible, trying time. He pulled out of the Baptist Union. But what he found after some time of being out of that union was that he still couldn't be by himself. And so he formed a brotherhood. And this brotherhood actually formalized and they developed documents and statements of faith. Now, you may not go that far in your local meeting of pastors where you formalize and have a statement of faith, but you have to have something that you're sort of agreeing around as the basics. And then another brother that I discovered not too long ago was a guy named by the name of Isaac Case. He was a pastor in Maine in the late 1700s, moved up from Massachusetts when he saw the desperate state of the state of Maine. At the time, Maine was not very well traveled, a lot of dirt roads and horseback and hard Maine winters. And here you have a guy named Isaac Case and others, Jonathan Fisher and Daniel Merrill, are three names that you'll find if you begin to kind of Google these names. They're not very well written about, but they were pioneers, church planters. Isaac Case has a memorial in the city of Reedfield, Maine. He is known as Maine's church planter. He planted, was part of planting over 300 churches in the state of Maine, founding many of the Baptist associations, or part of founding the Baptist associations that we have in our state, and personally baptized over 1,000 people. What you find in the late 1700s of Maine is really nothing short of a miraculous revival. And these were solidly reformed. They believed in plurality of elders. They were preaching clear gospel truths, baptizing believers. And so that became a real emphasis of, like, if that happened in Maine in the 1700s, and here we find ourselves in a very dark hour, well, what do we need to do? Well, we need to follow in these guys' footsteps. They didn't do it alone. They had pastoral partnerships. They were associating together. And so that really drove the reason for writing this book, wanting to see that same thing happen here in our state and really everywhere.
All right. We have time before we go to the break for one more question. Okay. We have Wynn, W-Y-N-N, in Hale Site, Long Island, New York, who wants to know, are you a member of a fraternal or a group of like-minded pastors or churches?
Absolutely, yes, I am. Yeah. So we call it a coalition. It's a group of pastors here in the state of Maine. We call it the Isaac Case Coalition, and it's a group of, I'd say, 14 to 15 pastors now that are all like-minded. We meet monthly to discuss serious topics of theology, how our churches are doing, helping each other grow. Those friendships are developing. There's a lot of work still left to do. But I think that at the point that we become greater friends, I think we'll meet another benchmark in what a coalition can be. But in terms of a church network, we're part of the Pillar Network. Larger tent would be the Southern Baptist Convention. But that local coalition or fraternity is the Isaac Case Coalition. So absolutely, yes.
Now, one thing that I have witnessed, I am a very strong advocate of parachurch fellowships. Some of those organizations don't like the term parachurch, but if it's not specifically governed by a local church elder board. I think it is a parachurch.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree wholeheartedly with like-minded men theologically joining and even forming these kinds of groups, these kinds of coalitions or councils or organizations. I'm not a fan of denominationalism, where you have a hierarchy outside of your local elders mm-hmm. that can dictate to your church what it has to do. That I'm opposed to. I think it has always proven to eventually wind up in abysmal failure, and the exact opposite of what they intend to do is their intention in denominations is to preserve the theology of a group, and then it winds up, you know, when the top is corrupted, it trickles down.
Right.
But as much as I am in favor of groups, like-minded groups that are coalitions of like-minded pastors, I think sometimes when those organizations are created, the pastors become totally disinterested in any kind of fellowship with pastors outside of the group. And I believe that can be unhealthy. I have, over my lifetime, I was saved in the mid-80s, have always been a member, after my salvation, of a Reformed Baptist church. But sometimes, during the course of those decades, I have been very blessed by the friendships I've developed with Arminians, with charismatic pastors, Pentecostal pastors. I'm not talking about the lunatics out there and, mm-hmm. and the total heretics, but there are men that may be very wrong in some areas that we cherish as Calvinists, but who may be superior to anyone we know in other areas, especially in the actual activity of their lives. So don't you think there needs to be a balance when it comes to things like those coalitions?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it has to do with the mindset, the heart, and the motivation going into forming the coalition, as opposed to a network of churches. If this is about the health of the pastor's heart, his soul, his ministry, his life, if you're thinking about his family, if you're thinking about his children, you're thinking about his disciplines, and you're there in that group, not thinking about yourself so much, but thinking what you can do to serve other pastors and help them grow. I think that keeps us from just being sectarian. Like, we're not forming the group in order to separate from others or segregate, but just seeing that the need is pastors aren't fellowshipping, at least in my area, they're not fellowshipping. So I think that it provides that. But yeah, I think you can go so far. And I think you just have to have the right leaders. There's a chapter I write on who are the people that you need to bring to the table of that coalition. And I think it's important to be intentional about that. If you're the person who starts this coalition in your area or this fraternity because you don't have any, you need to be very prayerful and think through who are those first few people that you're going to call, because that group eventually does develop a culture, a vision, an understanding of what the church is. And if you bring the wrong people to the table to form this coalition, it could very much turn into what you're saying, Chris. But that's why we need to be intentional about this. Those first few people that you call in your city and say, hey, are you getting together with anybody? Are you meeting with any pastors? Let's grab breakfast. That first meeting is so essential of who you reach out to. And I lay out a few parameters on how to think through those things, some things to look forward to discern. Whether you're starting or whether you're going to go and join a group that you find is already meeting in your city. Because, yeah, we need to be very discerning.
And we have to go to our final break right now. And if you have a question, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Chris, oh, by the way, Wynn in Hell Site, Long Island, make sure we get your full mailing address, because you've also won a copy of The Kingdom-Minded Pastor. And a reminder to all of you, if you're not pastors, please read the book and pass it on to your pastor. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Mm-hmm. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
Chris Arnzen here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners and that God forgives all who come to him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Welcome back, folks. Also, please never forget that this program is paid for in part by my longtime, very dear friend, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law of the law firm Buttafuoco & Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, call Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Make sure you tell Dan that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We have a question from Pierce in Holyoke, Massachusetts. Other than your own book, what are your favorite books that have helped guide you in your pastoral ministry that you can recommend?
Wow, that's great. One recently that's been very encouraging to me as a pastor is Spurgeon's Only a Prayer Meeting. It's a wonderful book that challenges sort of the status quo of churches whose prayer meeting is the least attended. So he kind of takes that phrase of this is only a prayer meeting, and Spurgeon really has challenged me in thinking through how to try to encourage our church to pray. That's one. I'd say I really have dove a lot into some of Practical Shepherding's books by Brian Croft. Those have been great. I use those a lot for our pastoral internship. So the pastor's soul, the pastor's pastoral friendship. If you look at Practical Shepherding's ministry, you'll see those books there. But anything Puritan related, I'm a big Spurgeon fan. I'll read Spurgeon. I love systematic theology books. Let's see, you know, anything else off the top of my head, I'd say, you know, the first, you know, I'm going to just say another Spurgeon book. You need to read Soul Winner. soul winner shaped a lot of my early love for the church and for Reformed doctrine.
Lectures to my students, I'm sure, would be one of them.
Lectures to my students is another one, I'd say. Very, very. You can tell I'm a Spurgeon guy. But yeah, absolutely. Those would be a couple. I read a lot of Nine Marks stuff. I recommend those things to our church. But I've been trying myself to read more Puritans. I just read Honor Thy Fathers. Might be a little bit out there, but it's a new book by New Christendom Press. So if you're okay with reading.
He's actually.
You got it there?
No, not yet. They're shipping it out to me. But he is scheduled to be on my show. That's Zach Garris.
Yes.
Monday, the 12th of August.
I'll make sure to listen. Yeah. So I just finished that book and handed it off to another pastor. It's a really good book on biblical patriarchy and sort of how the Reformers seen that, viewed that that whole thing on, and how we should be viewing the dangers of feminism today. So just a few off the top of my head that have encouraged me and that I've been looking at lately.
How about The Reformed Pastor by Richard Baxter?
Oh, yeah, we that's a required reading for our pastoral residents. I read that a while, several years back, but and excellent book. And by the way, it's really not a book about Reformed theology.
Right. A lot of people are scared to pick it up because they may be Arminian themselves, but he meant
exactly.
They're Reformed, like transformed pastor.
Exactly.
In fact, Baxter Reformed. Was the only non-Calvinistic Puritan I've ever heard of.
Yeah. Wonderful book. So those are a few good ones.
All right. And folks, as always, this may sound self-serving, but they do sponsor my show. Whenever you're looking for books, first and foremost, go to the two publishers and book distributors that sponsor the show. As far as a publisher, go to solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com. As far as a book distributor, go to cvbbs.com. They carry a much broader selection of books by many different publishers as opposed to one. That's cvbbs.com. Always mention that you heard about either one of them or both of them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Well, please, in about 2 minutes, summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we go off the air.
Well, first of all, Chris, thank you for letting me be here and talk about this book. It's been a great pleasure to be able to write it. And my hope, following the theme of this book, is that pastors who are specifically serving with a sense of dreariness, loneliness, a sense of I can't go on. I think there's a lot of that around our country and around the world. I would love for you to see that there is a way forward, a way for you to be healthy as a shepherd, to grow as a shepherd, enhance and advance the kingdom of God through a kingdom mindset. I would encourage you to pick up the book. I hope you will. I hope it's encouraging to you to sit around with a group of pastors, ask very good probing questions that are going to affect the health of your soul and the longevity of your ministry. I want to see that in my state. I believe it can happen. I believe that God has provided a means to see the world transform, his kingdom advance, and that is through the local church. And he has called shepherds to lead the local church. And so I think a lot of what we want to see change in our nation and the world is going to come down to the attitude and the strength of which pastors are operating. And of course, we know what is that ultimately depending on? That's depending on understanding our weakness and knowing that we need Christ. And he's provided these things for us. So that's what I would encourage you to do. So if you can do that through this 100-page book and it helps you, then praise God. That's my prayer for you.
Amen. Don't forget about the important websites you need to know about. First of all, let me give you one that I didn't give you earlier. It's Pastor Joel Littlefield's personal blog website, joellittlefield.com, joellittlefield.com. And then, of course, don't forget about bathnewcity.church, bathnewcity.church. And if you want to read more about Joel's book, The Kingdom-Minded Pastor, which has been published by my friend Donnie Morrison and Christian Focus Publications. Go to christianfocus.com, christianfocus.com, but you can order it here in the United States more affordably from our sponsors, CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, CVBBS.com. I want to thank you so much, Joel, for doing such a superb job on the show. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives, Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.